we stand and lift up our hands. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Together we sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. Let's do that one more time. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory.
It always bails you out of everything, doesn't it?
That's cool. Oh, Lord.
Here we go.
We made it. You ready for this song, Tom?
Not really.
All right. Now, one thing you guys need to know is on Sunday. Normally here I have my daughter Melody, and we have
Cindy.
We have Allison. You're Cindy. Working, you said working. You're working. Okay, his wife.
Excuses.
And then we have Chip. So there's a lot of bands.
That's right. So there's extra percussion. There's extra voices, but it's still a fun song anyway. And we're gonna muddle our way through it because it's just a fun song.
I say muddle.
Start the tempo there, Brandon. That was fun.
I'm just a broke you won't believe. Can't get a dollar out of me. And as far as I can see, I'm losing control like a bad disease. No, I can't just get relief. I've been shut down by the life police. And every day I try to rise, but I can't succeed. Can anybody find a cure for me? You can be bitter, bitter, bitter. You can be better, better, better. When life gives you lemons, it's gonna be okay. Don't worry, little children, and don't complain. Oh, remember your goals, so find some sugar cane. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Now every day's like a brand new year. I throw my hands up in the air like I just don't care. I'm moonwalking down the street feeling like a man. Like the bottom of the glass, now I see clear. Though I laugh just a little more, I stand much taller than I did before. I know I'm not where I need to be.
But thank God I'm not where I used to be. Used to be bitter, bitter, bitter. Now I feel better, better, better. When life gives you lemon, it's gonna be okay. Don't worry, little children, and don't complain. Whoa, remember your goal to find some sugar cane. When life gives you lemon, make lemonade. I was saved for a reason that I can't explain. Got something new to believe in. I'm awakened again. So many miracles are happening each day. If I can just get out of my own way. When life gives you lemon, it's gonna be okay. Don't worry, little children, don't complain. Oh, remember your soul, find some sugar cane. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. When life gives you lemons, it's gonna be okay. Don't worry, little children, don't complain. Whoa, remember your goal to find some sugar cane. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Lemony, 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 lemonade. Lemon, 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 lemonade. Lemon, 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 lemon. Woo! Okay, my daughter Melody's 18, so needless to say, when we sing that together, it's more fun. But still. All right, what do we sign on this one? Capo 1, right? Yay, Capo 1. We're doing it the mellow way for this service, and we'll do the upbeat way for you on Sunday. All right. Yeah, we'll start it. Karen wants to play this the traditional hymn way, which we will do on Sunday. But by golly, it's Thursday, so we're gonna do it. We're gonna do the Chris Tomlin way here.
Which way is that way?
Find out.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and one. Wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. Singing, oh how marvelous, oh how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous. Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful
and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory His face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me.
Sing it loud.
Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Is my
Savior's love for me.
I like that version. I like the Chris Tomlin version. All right, we made it. Yeah. Pastor, you want to bless us with some knowledge, some Bible wisdom?
I actually like both versions. I love that song. One of my favorites. And it's not because I left the Nazarene church. But that I was thinking about, you know, the song about the lemonade. How many people
would be brave enough to sing that?
Life with a pocket full of lemons and can't seem to make the simple decision that I'm going to make lemonade. Because it radically changes our lives to where it's no longer just about us, and it's no longer just about me. But it's about everybody else, because we're not important anymore in the big scheme of things. So we are going to take a look at Revelation chapter 20, but we're going to take a look at that a little bit later. We're going to do something a little bit more important right now. I want to share with you from James chapter 5, and starting with verse 9. James says, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned." That's like taking the lemons and make lemonade. When you make lemonade, we don't grumble. He says, "Behold, the judge is standing at the door." He said, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, brethren, do not swear either by the heavens or by the earth or with any other oath. But let your yes be less, and your yes be yes, and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." And what James is saying there is that things are either pretty much right or wrong. You know, he's saying, you know, we can't compromise on things. There are certain things that the Bible teaches that are wrong. And when we begin to accept the sin, then we begin to lose that demarcation of yes and no and what's right and wrong. There'll be people that'll do things that we may not agree with, and it may be a doctrinal disagreement or a biblical disagreement, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to have a prejudice against that person. And I heard, somebody said to the night, I said, man, this is, it's so right, because I'm back to the place where I'm just about ready to chuck Facebook again, because I'm tired of the political nonsense that you see on there. And so I've made a couple comments today and figured that was it. But verse 15, he says, he's talking about here about meeting specific needs. He said, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And this next part, I think, is what's important when we look at God touching us. He said, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And that's an interesting thought there, because the first thing he says there, he says, if you're suffering, let him pray. Let the person that's hurting pray first. I'm so amazed at the order that God does things. So amazed. But he said, you know, after you've prayed, then call for the elders of the church. We've been having quarterly healing services, and we had one in January, and we're having another one this quarter. We're going to have one tonight. The type of the faith that it takes is what he says in verse 17. He said, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was like us, no different. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. That's faith. But the next verse says, and he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced fruit. Phillips, I'm not going to pick on you, but I'm going to pick on you, because I know why you're here. And I might just let you share. Excuse me? Yes, ma'am. is he carrying around a pocket of lemons? One of the things that, you know, a couple things come to my mind when you were sharing that is, as long as we're alive, we have a destiny. We have something to fulfill. And I believe that we don't leave this earth until our destiny is fulfilled. There's no doubt about that. You know, so I think sometimes people fail to realize that. The other thing I thought about is you're in the right place tonight. And that you said that you believe in God. And I'm assuming when you say you believe in God that you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sin and you're a Christian. And that's, you know, that's all that's important when we look at the, you know, the scheme of things, that what's our relationship. And again, I'm not putting you on the spot, but I guess I am putting you on the spot. But I think it's important that we know, you know, that you know that, you know. I know you and God know that. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to pray for you. And some of the things that we found about healing is that sometimes it's instantaneous. Sometimes it takes a period of time. God works in God's own way. I wish he worked in Larry's way. But he hadn't done that yet. But I believe that since you're here and you came in faith, we have seen people healed. And in case you have not heard about, and it's been on Facebook, but if you haven't had a chance to see it, Dan and Gayla Young's daughter and son-in-law's little baby had a tumor on its heart at 22 months. And they went in Tuesday, I believe it was, and did in vitro surgery and removed the tumor. And apparently both Courtney and the little guy are doing really well. So at this point. But, you know, like Gayla said, keep praying. And our philosophy around here is that we believe that when we pray, that out of faith, God's going to do something. And so then the next step for us to do is continue to thank him for doing it. Because if we keep praying for the same thing, it's like we have no faith. And so that's just about as simple as you can make it. But it's not a difficult thing. I've apologized for being emotional before, but I really don't care anymore. You want to come up here or you want me to come back there? It doesn't make any difference to me. Come on up here in the second step of faith. And if you all would just come and gather around. I'm confident. The Bible says to call the elders and to anoint you with oil. Is that okay?
It's fine.
I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask anybody else that wants to pray to feel free to pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, let's put your hand on your pancreas. We come to you tonight in the healing name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we bring this burden that Phyllis is carrying, and we cast it out and we cast it upon your shoulders, because you said that where two or more are gathered in your name, you will be in the midst of them and you will be there. And so Father, just now in the name of Jesus and through the power that is vested in us as believers, we take authority over that demon of cancer in her pancreas, and we bind its growth, and we bind its debilitating effect that it could have on her, because we are confident tonight that in the name of Jesus, you have healed her. And Father, we thank you for her faith. Thank you, Father, for the influence that you've had on her life. And thankful, Father, that she can confess that I believe and I trust in God. And the fact, Lord, that you have saved her from so many other things, it's now we ask you to save her from one more. And Lord, we pray a spirit of healing and comfort over her. We pray a spirit of peace over Roger. And compassion and love, Lord, that has not been experienced in their marriage before. But Lord, somehow, some way, you're going to work a miracle here. And it is through the power and through the presence of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that I feel this release and I feel this healing has come about. We thank you, Father, for it. We thank you, Father, that Phyllis has many, many, many more years to enjoy the beauty and the gifts that you have given to us on this earth. We pray, Father, for her and Roger and their marriage and their relationship, Lord. And just pray, Father, that you just give them years together of love and joy, retirement, time to spend together. In your name. If anyone else feels led to pray, I encourage you to do so.
Lift your feelings. How do you feel?
My feelings.
What about the pain? Do you have anything specific there? Because you're going to if you're not.
No.
All right. Tell me when, okay?
Okay.
All right. Because this is what God does. All right?
Okay.
The Lord, we speak right now in the name of Jesus. We command the garbage get off me right now. We come against cancer. We speak a healthy pancreas right now. So Lord, I call the purifying Holy Spirit fire of God on there right now. Do you feel that? Do you feel God touching that?
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
What's it feel like? I'm feeling warm.
Yes, I was going to say it's warm.
Good, okay. Lord, heat her up. Burn it out of there right now. Give her more,
absolutely.
Lord. Give her more. That's what God does. Get all these people here laying. Yeah. Cheerleader. He's a cheerleader, okay? Yeah. But your faith is set you free. Your faith is set you free. So Lord, Lord, feel even more right now. I want you to know right now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that that pancreas is brand new. When you go see the doctor's neck, they're going to say, I don't get it. All right? They're going to look at the charts. They're going to look at it and say, "This, what's wrong?" Okay? Because that's what God does. Many years ago, I prayed for a little 18-month-old. And it's something on their, I think on the liver, about the size of a half dollar. You know, and that at that age and that cancer, right?
Right.
They had taken this thing. 24 hours later, they were down with children. They met him down. He prayed for that child. That's the same victory I claim for you right
absolutely.
Now. That's why I wanted you to feel in here.
Yeah.
So you know that God can take care of
them.
Yeah. Is that good?
Grand.
How's it feeling right now?
Settle down.
And
yeah.
Good. Good, you got it.
Settled down.
Okay. You got it. You got it.
Thank you all very much.
Anyone else feel led to pray? You're going to be healthy in the name of Jesus.
He is now.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Is that good?
It's amazing. That is good.
That is so good.
All yes.
And you got a lot more to finish on this earth. A lot more.
I know I do. I know I do. Thank you. You're singing? No, I'm not, honey.
I saw her singing.
I was singing.
God bless you.
I can't
saw
carry
her singing.
A tune. You don't want me to sing.
You're going to share some firm revelations up to you.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to take a look. We got a couple more chapters in Revelation here to take a look at. And actually, tonight and next week. And I've been reading a book on, there's three more chapters. We'll see how we get through it. By a guy named Mark Batterson. I had an opportunity to hear him speak. And he wrote a book called, it's Circling. It's a prayer circle type thing. And it's a very interesting book. And it's really why we got the black wristbands out there, was because of the book that he had written. But it's just about prayer. And so we're going to do one that's entitled, that he wrote entitled, If. If we have different thoughts about things. And so anyway, we'll take that up starting in a couple weeks. Revelation chapter 20, this is where it gets down to the talking about the judgment, talking about the binding and throwing of Satan into hell, frankly. So verse 20 of chapter 19 really talks about the bottomless pit. And then chapter 20 picks up on it again in the first verse there and starts talking about the bottomless pit. And what that bottomless pit is it's really where all the demons are going to be incarcerated. I got to get something to rest my knee. Huh? Cindy's not here. He doesn't know it, but I'm driving tomorrow. And they're going to be incarcerated in this bottomless pit until the final judgment comes about. And then, after the final judgment comes about, then the Bible says they're going to be cast into hell. So we're looking at a bottomless pit, plus it's for an incarceration. And I don't know if you could, the Catholic Church looks at purgatory as a stage between earth and heaven. And this really becomes a place of habitation for those that are sentenced to the lake of fire. We see this seven times in the New Testament, and the references there about a place of temporary incarceration, or a place where they're going to be held on a temporary basis. But hell is a punishment and is going to be the place of all non-believers. We believe in a heaven. We believe in a hell. And I'm going to do a series of messages on heaven and hell in a few weeks, just to take a look and get a grasp of the two. Verse 1 said, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So what he's saying there is, only mentions here, I think if I looked at this, he said he laid hold of the dragon, or he laid hold of Satan here. And even though it only talks about Satan, what the whole reference is not just to Satan, but it's also to the demons that are worshiping him and supporting him. And what's going to happen is that when they are bound and when they are in the bottomless pit, then it's going to change the whole look of civilization, because everything is going to be changed. That influence of evil is going to be changed. And the devil, as we see him anywhere in the Bible, always talks about the adversary of Jesus. And the dragon, that's likening Satan to a dragon, which simply emphasizes a couple things. Number one, his cruelty. And number one, how ferocious he is and how really evil he is. Hmm? Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I've heard people talk about things like that, and you know, and seeing that, and there's a, I think I want to say, Mitch Albom or somebody wrote a book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, and there's also one, something so much time in hell. I think seems like I've seen something like that. I'm not sure, but it is real. You know, it's good that she realize that I need to do something. Right. You know, we aren't showing them things for nothing.
Right.
You know, and then it must have been maybe something deep-seated or something that was really there that she just finally decided, I got to take care of this. He said something, and people choose to go to heaven. If you don't choose to go to heaven, you go to hell. His reference there to the serpent of old goes back to the Garden of Eden, when the serpent tempted Eve, and then Adam followed along, and that was the reference there. There's also, I put a scriptural reference there that I saw today, 2 Corinthians 11:3, that supports that and talks about that. Thousand years, this is the first of six references that we see about the millennial kingdom in the earth. And the kingdom is going to be a place where we're going to flourish, we're going to live in peace, we're going to live in comfort. Satan is going to be gone, he's going to be in the pit, so they're not going to have that influence of negativity and influence of sin and everything in our lives. There is, and if you flip over to the back page, there is three different thoughts on millennialism, or that millennial reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. And I saw it when I saw this today, and I thought I'm going to just get some notes out just to help people understand, because we hear a lot of different ideas and thoughts about this. And so when we look at this thousand-year rule this is what, there's three different, really three basic ideas about this. The first one is premillennialism. And that's a view that teaches that following Jesus' second coming, he's going to institute on earth his kingdom. It's going to be a perfect kingdom. It's going to be a kingdom of peace. It's going to be a kingdom of righteousness. And it's going to last 1,000 years. That's something that he is going to do on the earth. After that 1,000-year rule on the earth, then that's when the eternity begins. But this is in essence, as Ray said earlier, an extra 1,000 years. But that's really, you know, it's kind of what it becomes. That is probably the most popular thought because I think it's scriptural. And there's some scriptural references there out of, three of them out of the Old Testament, even though I misspelled Isaiah. But I get A happy there when I'm doing that, I guess, you know. But there's that thought. Then there's one called amillennialism. And that's a spiritualized view, or it's the view that people have taken on from, you know, some type of spiritual insight or something that they think they have, that there's a Christ comes and there's an eternal state, but there is no literal 1,000 years here, no literal 1,000-year reign on the earth. It's just something that people think is going to happen spiritually and it's not going to physically happen. But scripturally, it's sound to say that it is going to happen. And then the post-millennialism, that's another spiritualized view, and what they're saying in this one is that it teaches that through the church's progressive teaching and the church's progressive influence in the world, that eventually the world's going to become Christianized and everybody's going to become a Christian. But if we look at the world, since some of these ideas were conceived, it unfortunately just isn't getting any better. You know, and I'm not a pessimist. Anybody who knows me knows that, but I got to be a realist too. It's not getting any better. So I go on to verse 3, and he says, "And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while." Now look at that, and when we think about that and think, well, why in the world, if he's in the bottomless pit and he's there, why in the world would Jesus let him out again? Why would that ever happen? He's defeated him, he's bound him, he's put him there, he sealed him, and then he comes back and says, "Oh yeah, guys, I'm going to let him out again." And you look at that and you think, wow, why would he do that? But if you see here, it says Satan will be released for a short time so God can make a permanent end of sin and put sin to the end finally. And so he's established the new kingdom here, and that all those living, and there's going, and we've talked about this, that tribulation period of 7 years when Satan has complete rule over the earth, and there will be people that will find a relationship with Jesus Christ during that time. And so what we see here is that those people that are living during that tribulation time, it will be with the rest of the believers, and they'll all be on earth at this time. But some of the descendants of those believers, just like today, we have believers in church, and and we've known people that their parents have been strong Christians and they have, their children have maybe turned the other way or just the opposite. And so there's going to be descendants of these believers during that find Jesus during this millennial period that are going to be judged according to what they have done, as we all will be judged according to what we do. And those non-believers there will be in a futile attempt with Satan, because it says here, if you look at this and take it literally, he said, "But after a while, he must be released." It doesn't say he's going to release demons. It doesn't say he's going to release any other non-believers. But it says he will be released, and those non-believers that did not accept Jesus through the tribulation period are the ones that are going to mount up a final attempt to overthrow the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so that's why that's why he's released, so that Jesus can once again show his power. It's not going to be much of a battle. I know that. Verse 4. He said, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their forehead or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is why I think when you look at those ideas, the different premillennialism and millennialism and postmillennialism, is that the pre supported here by this 1,000-year reign. So he says the souls of those who have been beheaded, that is not necessarily people that were beheaded. That was just a term used to show that people were executed. It doesn't necessarily mean that they, you know, every one of them were beheaded, but it just means that it's just a general term for the term execution. And it says in there, it talks about his mark. And we talked about in previous chapters about the mark of the beast being 666. And if someone didn't accept the mark of the beast on their forehead or on their hand, that they would not be able to buy or sell or do business during this tribulation period. And the reference here is to those people that have been saved through the tribulation period that did not take the mark of the beast on their hands. So that's what that reference is there, did not receive his mark on their forehead or on their hand. The reign, that includes all the tribulation believers, along with all the redeemed people from the Old Testament times as well as the New Testament times. In other words, it's going to be one whale of a party when we party with Jesus. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. And what he's talking about there, he says the rest of the dead, those are the bodies of the non-believers. Those are the ones that did not come back, and they'll not be resurrected until the great white throne judgment, which is going to take place shortly in chapter 19. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. One thing that we talked about is that priesthood of believers, and it was a term that was used Monday night in our meeting here, that we read this and we look, well, we're going to be priests when Jesus comes back, but there is a priesthood of believers, of Christians today, that as a child of God and as a joint heir with Jesus Christ, we too are priests. And so we too should be carrying on what that ministry is. The ministry of salvation, the ministry of sharing, the ministry of healing, not just left to ministers or to elders, but we're all priests to do that. Talks about two resurrections. The first one is the resurrection of life. That's the resurrection of the righteous people, the resurrection of the just people. And it's going to include here the redeemed of the church and the church age, the Old Testament, and the tribulation period, all people that have been forgiven, all people that have found Jesus Christ their personal Savior, then they are going to participate in this first resurrection. The second resurrection is the one you don't want to be a part of, because that is the resurrection and of the dead, and the that resurrection includes the judgment, or the great white throne judgment that he talks about. Those are unconverted people, people that have not found Jesus Christ their personal Savior, and these are the ones that are going to be cast into hell. And they're going to be cast into hell. And we talk about heaven being, we talk about eternity. And we thinking, you know, we think about heaven and it's never going to come to an end. But hell's never going to come to an end either. People are going to be punished from now on out. Verse 6. Oh, and verse 6, he talks about there, he says, blessed are those. Well, these glasses are 6 months old.
I thought you had the big
one. I didn't bring them. But blessed, those are the ones who died in the Lord, and those are the ones that are blessed and going to enter the kingdom of heaven. The second death, the first death is physical and spiritual, while the second death is eternal. No, I've been off those things for about 3 days. And I have no pain. There's a thing on there, I think it probably says see handout we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the millennial, or those three types of the millennial reign, but I thought that was a better time to do it before. Verse 7, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. So we've got this 1,000-year reign. We go back to verse 3 back here where it says, after these things, he will be released. So after this 1,000-year reign, Satan's going to be released. And he's loose. He's going to bring his leadership, the offspring of the believers who entered the kingdom that did not find salvation. And they're going to be there to make battle against Jesus. But also what Jesus is going to have is the offspring of believers who entered the kingdom. So there's going to be, you're going to have, again, that battle of right and wrong after the millennial reign or after the 1,000-year reign. And he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. So there's going to be a whole bunch of them. When you look at that and you count them as the sand of the sea, Gog and Magog, Gog is the name given to the army of rebels and its leaders. Magog is really the grandson of Noah. And here's a good example of a believer like Noah. And you've got a non-believing or an unbelieving offspring or descendant of Noah. So what we see here, God's the leader of this army. And he's going to take his army against the army that is led by this rebel army of Gog and Magog, and they're going to do battle. It's depicted in verse 7 and 8. He says, talking about that 1,000 years and talking there about the four corners of the earth, he said, whose numbers is as the sand of the sea. It's going to be a few. I don't know how many people will have, that are saved during the tribulation and the descendants of those believers. But apparently reading this, there's no reference there, but there is a reference to who the enemy will be. Because it says that they will be as the sand of the sea. Verse 8 goes on to say, verse 9, they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The beloved city, and we've talked about this before, is Jerusalem. This is where Jesus Christ is going to set up his earthly rule. It's going to be in Jerusalem. And people are going to be, that are living in during this period, are going to be living in the surrounding town of Jerusalem, are going to be living outside the city. The fire in the scriptures is associated with divine judgment. Anytime that we see fire, we see judgment. And what he's doing is he's bringing judgment down on those that are battling him. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night and forever. So what we see here is that he only let out, because we had three characters here. We had we had Satan, we had the beast, and we also had the false prophet. Well, the false prophet and the beast were still already had been in hell. They had already been sentenced to hell. But he had let Satan out. And so anyway, now what he's done is he said the devil who deceived him was cast in with them. So all three of them now are cast into hell. And then he talks about the great white throne judgment. He said, and then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. What we have here is that the judgment we have, I've heard about it since I was a kid, about God judging people. And so this is an elevated judge's bench, in essence. We've seen in the courthouse, you ever sat on a jury, and you see where the jury sits, and usually the judge is sitting highest. It's going to be the same type of thing. It's going to be an elevated place, and Jesus is going to be the judge. It says here that earth, heaven and earth fled away, and what he's saying there, that John saw the earth in a contaminated state. He saw that it was a state of decay. And so Jesus destroys that. And what he does, and one of the authors I was reading, I was looking at, he said, it's almost like it was just uncreated because it didn't exist. It was no longer in existence. And one of the references, and there's a note in here somewhere, I believe, I don't think we've seen it yet, or I think we passed over it, is that this may be somewhere out of the universe as far as where this takes place. We always talk about, looking, down, for hell, but it's not necessarily going to be there. Verse 12, I got to get different glasses. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So they're standing before God. It looks like a courtroom, and he opens up these books. It's kind of looking like a judge passing, sentence on someone. The jury's decided that they're guilty, and the judge is passing out what the judgment was going to be. There are no living sinners here at all because they've been destroyed. It said the books contain every thought, word, deed of the sinful condemned man. There's a reference there in Daniel 7:10. He says, a river of fire flowed out from his presence. Thousands upon thousands served him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood ready to serve him. The court sat in session. The scrolls were opened. And so the book of life is opened. That's where we want our name. We're judged according to our works. And I think it's interesting because when you look at this, it said there, the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. It almost indicates there, let me go on and finish reading this and then we'll talk about that. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and the death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And someone said, and I put a note in there, it's the next to last paragraph, it said, judged according to their works. Their thoughts, words, and actions will compare to God's holy and perfect standard. And one writer said that this seems to imply that there may be degrees of punishment in hell, that not everyone would be punished the same. And some authors have said that they believe that there will be degrees of reward in heaven for those that have done, so much more. I don't know that I necessarily believe that. It'll be a reward to get there. I shared with somebody the other day, Chuck Swindoll said there's going to be two things that's going to surprise him about heaven. One, the people that got there that he didn't think would make it. And the second was that he was there. I thought that was pretty good. But death and Hades, these both terms describe hell as where all the unrighteous people are going to. There was one other thing here, and I just realized I skipped over it, and I wanted to take a look at it if I can find it quickly. I thought I could. Well, it had to do with something about the resurrected bodies of those people that are doomed to hell. And I can't remember what it was, but they're going to have a body too. It's going to be a body in a different state than the state of the believer that's in heaven. But it's going to be a resurrected body as we have. It's just that the resurrected body that is in heaven is going to be far better than what they're going to have. Any thoughts? Any questions? I know where I want to be. No, it's not. It's in my pocket. Okay. It did run off because I forgot my keys. I want us to keep remembering Kyle and Courtney in our prayers. Dan and Gayla, I know, are still in Pennsylvania, and I did read an article the other day about some other child that had that same surgery, and I think he's 5 or 9 now and doing really well. So there's some hope and support, you know, that it happens. But the comments from Gayla have just been so appreciative of prayer, and how she is so confident that prayer is what's really done it. Any other thoughts, prayers? We plug Jim's place every chance we get. It's Jim Dandy Barbecue. Huh?
Good food.
It is good food.
Big trucks, I'm telling you.
Any others? Let's pray, and let's thank God again for touching Phyllis. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, and how awesome you are. You have promised us life forever. And you've given us an escape route out of this world that has gotten evil. Never your intention, but when people make their own decisions, make their own choices, so many times they're wrong choices and bad decisions. But we're thankful for that good decision that you led us all to make, and that's to find salvation through Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we thank you for that wholeness, for that feeling of freedom, the feeling of I'm homeward bound because of what you've done in our lives. Lord, I give you thanks for Kyle and for Courtney's answered prayer and the prayer of that little guy and the way, Lord, that you directed those physicians' hands and minds and the way that you have given hope in the midst of despair. So we thank you, Father, for that. How awesome you are to a people that, although we don't like to, we do fail you at times, and we do things wrong, but our desire is to do things right. So, Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy in our lives. Father, we thank you for touching Phyllis. Thank you, Father, for taking that cancer out of her body and replacing it with health. You never take something without giving something. And so, Father, you've taken disease and you've given health and hope and a future. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray and we look towards Sunday, special day of the week where we can stop and just take our time and worship you, give thanks for what you have done as a corporate body. And so, Father, we pray for that service. We pray for those that will be coming in. We pray, Father, for those that will take an hour out of their time to come and spend time worshiping and communing with you. Father, we're thankful that you have touched this church. Thankful, Father, for the leadership with the committees that you have graced us with, that are full of your presence and full of a desire to see this body function as it should. Well, Father, we just commit this day to you. We commit this time to you. We pray, Father, that as we close and some more music and some more song, that you will bless that time together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless God for 9-volt batteries. Anyone ever heard of Jesse Duplantis? Jesse Duplantis, yeah. Down South Louisiana way. Christian comedian, actually. He's a fun guy to listen to. You know, because he shares the word in the comedy. But his mother was, Jesse has a healing ministry. Seen all kinds of people healed. His mother was in her mid-50s, I believe, and was in the hospital dying from cancer. And Jesse goes in, you know, he's seen a lot of people healed, right? Jesse goes in, by golly, he's laying hands on his mom and nothing's happening, okay? So Jesse gets righteous with God. He says, hey, God, Mark 16:16-17 tells me I shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What's up? And God spoke to Jesse. And he said, Jesse, whose prayer do I honor? Your prayer for your mother's healing or her prayer to come home to me? See, God honors free will above all. I can't, if someone has just made up their mind, I'm done, I've had it, I'm going home, no matter how much I pray for that person, I'm done. That ain't happening because it's their will, which is why it's so important for us to share the word. You know, give people that hope so they can make that free will choice. I do want to live. I do have more to do. And Pastor said it very well earlier. We're not leaving this earth till our mission is accomplished. For Christians. For Christians. If we reject Christ, it's all game off. By God. God is good. So this song is actually a special we're going to do. We're doing it now, obviously, and we're going to do it before the pastor's message on Sunday. This is called By Your Side. You guys are no capo, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Ooh, Todd's going to do something fancy.
Well,
Why don't you start us out? You're close enough.
That sounds close.
I don't remember.
Wait, this was literally tonight, 6 o'clock.
Want to see what improv looks like? Watch this.
Yeah, sometimes we just start.
Why are you striving these days? Why are you trying to earn grace? Why are you crying? Let me lift up your face. Just don't turn away. Why are you looking for love? Why are you searching as if I'm not enough? So where will you go, child? Tell me, where will you run? To where will you run? Cause I'll be by your side wherever you fall in the dead of night. Whenever you call, and please don't fight. These hands that are holding you, my hands are holding you. Look at these hands, my side. They swallowed the grave on that night when I drank the world's sin so I could carry you in and give you life. I want to give you life. Cause I'll be by your side wherever you fall in the dead of night. Whenever you call, and please don't fight. These hands that are holding you, my hands are holding you. Cause I love you. I want you to know that I love you. I'll never cause I'll be by your side wherever you fall in the dead of night. Whenever you call, and please don't fight these hands that are holding you. Cause I'll be by your side wherever you fall in the dead of night. Whenever you call, and please don't fight these hands that are holding you. My hands are holding you.
Song, isn't it?
That was
a pretty song.
I had no clue how that was.
It was fun. Right now, I know you know this song.
That was energy.
We even lost our piano.
Oh, man.
And the pianist ran away. Gee.
Right now, I know you know this one. So I shouldn't have to do any singing. Nothing. None. Zip.
That's
zip,
joke's
zip,
on you. Surprise, you're singing.
You're going to sing?
Reasons for you to sing.
He leadeth me. What, wrong key? He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, whate'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled
Lord sees that 'tis his hand that leadeth thee. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content, whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth thee. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, by way thy grace the victory won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
That was fun. Okay, no more planned music, so there you go.
We're done. Dogs are howling.
Bless you, it's good.
It's a lot. It's better Sunday. It really does come together.
Oh, yeah, we're missing half the people.
Better Sundays. Better Sundays. What do you want to play?
Something fast.
All right.
That's not even fast, just big. Something big. Where it can be.
Today's
big
the 12th, so what was that? February.
Of the Storm. Okay. Last week's special.
Do you remember it?
When the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet, between the black skies and red eyes that I can barely see, and when I'm feeling like I've been let down by my friends and my family, I can hear the rain reminding me, in the eye of the storm, you remain in control, in the middle of the war. You got my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When my hopes and dreams are far from me, running out of faith, I see the future, I picture
slowly fade away. And when my tears of pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you got my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. Just don't know how I'm gonna make ends meet. I did my best now, scared to death. We might lose everything. And when my sickness takes my child away, then there's nothing I can do. My only hope is to trust in you. And I trust you, Lord, in the eye of the storm. You remain in control. In the middle of the war, you got my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. You remain in control. In the middle of the war, you got my soul. You alone the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm.
He did three on that one.
Yeah. I like the little thing. That was kind of cool.
It sounds.
Yeah, a little extra. That was cool. That worked for that spot, too.
That wasn't bad for three people.
Actually,
it did.
I almost ran over and grabbed the bass, to be honest. What else can we do? That was fun. That don't make me too funny.
Oh!
Hey! Bop. Whatever.
What was that one we did?
Oh, yeah. That's one. That one's slow.
What was the... Was that January 30? I don't know. He Reigns? You Reign? A neat song here. We usually have a whole lot more people. But you ready?
Dear Jesus, where are you tonight? I bear a sadness deep inside. I'm making for a faith in things I strain to feel. I need to know that you are real. Oh Savior, open up my eyes. I want to see you like a child. There is a haze on the horizons of my heart. Dear Jesus, show me where you are. Be my fire light. Be my fire light. Burning fierce and bright. Be my fire light. How do I move on and be free from all these things that I have seen? All of my memories are turning into scars. Oh my God, put back what's been torn apart. Be my fire light. Be my firelight. Be my firelight. Be my firelight. Burning fierce and bright. Be my firelight. Anyone remembers my name, if I'm ever known for anything, let it be I ran into the night, running with the firelight, firelight. Anyone remembers my name, if I'm ever known for anything, let it be I ran into the night, running with the firelight, firelight. If anyone remembers my name, if I'm ever known for anything, let it be I ran into the night, running with the firelight, firelight. Cause I don't want to stroll the streets of gold while there's still a soul to love. Let me run into the night, running with the firelight, firelight. Running with the firelight, firelight. Running with the firelight, firelight.
I like that song a lot.
I'm not even playing on that one. I'm on. Here we go. Who's a blast? Ah.
Really care for me. It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift. The battle king composed it. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah. Well, you felt strong, but you needed proof. You saw the paving on the roof. The beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. Well, she tied you to a kitchen chair. Broke your throne and she cut your hair, and from your lips Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you. But I've seen a flag on Marble Arch, but love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken. Hallelujah. When you let me know what's really going on below. Now you never show that to me, do ya? Well, remember when I moved in you, the holy dove was moving too. And every breath we drew was hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Oh, wimp Todd, but mine are worse. I got at least one more verse in me that I'm done.
I think
probably.
That was it.
Well, maybe there's a God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who outdrew ya. But it's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's cold and it's a broken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is my version.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Of the 80 verses, those are the seven. There's two more that I have on there. Leonard Cohen wrote 80 verses to the song. Mm-hmm. He only ever performed four of them. Jeff Buckley performed five. I added two more to Jeff Buckley's verses. And Papa wrote his own version, so I mean...
Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Darkness tries to light. Trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. Oh, see how great is our God. Age to age, he said, God is in his hands, beginning and the end.
What?